other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, January 10th.
Yay, it's Friday.
It's Friday. I love Fridays, man.
Pretty sure we say that every Friday.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I need to sleep in a little bit. The funny thing is that I realized it doesn't matter what time I go to sleep and how many hours of sleep. What matters is nothing matters, really. It's totally unpredictable whether I'm tired in the morning or not.
That's very true.
Yeah, I've been just fine, you know. But then, like yesterday, I slept, the night before last, I slept for about 4.5 hours, and I was totally awake yesterday morning.
Right?
Yeah.
No,
now,
that,
last
that,
night,
that totally
I slept
happened.
For 6 hours, or 7 hours, sorry, and I woke up so, I mean, I got up in the morning so tired, I can't even tell you, you know.
But yeah, I think it has something to do with like the REM or the stage that you're in
right. When
you're sleeping. Like you go through different cycles, and when you're at that point where you're back into that like deep sleep area,
the dream state,
and then when you have to try to wake up from that, it's like impossible.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why you feel so tired. So it's like when you go through like that full cycle, and I don't know how many like full cycles you're supposed to have,
right?
Like
there
within
are several
the night,
during the night,
but
right.
Right, that's what I mean. So it's like if you can like, you know, if you're waking up at the end of your cycle, that's when you're like meant to wake up.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's easy to wake up.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I feel like the majority of the time, I'm in the middle of a cycle because when my alarm goes off, I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh, no. I feel like I just got ran over by a truck.
I know.
And then
it's
you
like
feel it when
ready.
You snooze, too, sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd be like moderately tired, but like awake enough. And then you're like, no, I think I'm just going to try to go back to sleep.
Right.
And then, and then you feel even worse
right. When
you actually get to that point. And then you're, you know, you really have to wake up. And then you're like, oh, I should not have tried to go back to sleep because now it's like twice as hard to get up.
Because
I was
it really
like
is.
the middle of a cycle or something.
Right.
I don't know.
I know. You know what? So in one of my cycles, sometimes, you know, you finish a cycle of REM sleep and you sometimes remember what you just dreamed about. And I had such a real dream where I was able to sort of like lift myself off the ground and be suspended like in midair.
Oh.
And people would just be blown away by this. And
like a Chris
it.
Angel kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, kind of something like that, you know.
Okay.
And I kept doing it back and forth. And I mean, all the mechanics of it, I was aware of like the lift of the air and everything, like an airplane and all that. But it was impossible in the dream, obviously. But it didn't really make sense. But it felt so friggin' good, you know.
Oh, my God.
It really felt good. So I'm trying to analyze this dream and figure out why am I dreaming this, you know?
Yeah, what does this stuff mean?
I think it means that I want to feel special or stand out in a way, you know, from other people, be able to do things that other people can't or something. You know?
You know what we should do? We should have a dream expert as a guest on our show sometimes.
I
so
know,
anybody that's listening,
dreams,
if you know of a dream expert person, like, you know, give them our information
because
I really want to know about, how this works.
I think a psychologist would probably be able to analyze it better than a dream interpreter.
That's
true.
Well, the dream interpreter probably is a psychologist or psychiatrist
doubtful.
Of some
I mean, they're,
degree,
they're,
but...
They're on the same level.
Or they could be just some hippie that's like, dream on, man. I love dreams. You never know. Either way, it's intriguing, and I enjoy the topic. So if anybody anybody wants to come explain about that, I'm all ears.
Do you remember your dreams usually?
I do. And I actually have a funny story. It's actually a dream that my mom had when I was home visiting, and she told me about it. She's like, it felt so real. And and she might kill me for saying this, but it kind of became like an inside joke, like this, you know, outstanding inside joke that we keep revisiting now every time we, you know, refer to this. But she had this dream, she told me, that she was like pregnant again. And she was like, but it was like so real. Like she was like at her age now and everything. And I was at my age. And she said she felt like everybody in her family, like everybody had like abandoned her, like except for me.
Right.
So I was like, don't worry, mom. It's okay. Have the baby. I'll help you with the baby. We'll get through this. And, you know, and then she was like, and then she got to the point where she was like, you know, going through labor. And she was like, it felt so real. She was like, I felt like what it was really like to go through labor, like when she had, you know, my brother and I. And, you know, she was like, it's just so weird because it was a dream, but I felt like real labor. And it was just a dream. So I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So now we're always like joking about stuff. Like, she's like, oh yeah, she's like, you're such a good daughter. You're going to help me with the baby. You know? It was just, you know, a bunch of like weird, crazy, random things that happened in the dream. And, you know, it's just so weird. It's like, where does that come from? And why do you remember specific dreams and not others?
Yeah, you know? Well, I think it goes back to the same thing you said about the REM cycle of sleep. You know, maybe I think when you're awakened in the middle of one, then you remember the dream.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. But yeah, anyway,
that could be true. That could be very true. What else was I going to say? I was going to say something else about. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, like what's funny is when like if you're in a relationship with somebody and you know you're frequently like you know staying by them, you know, basically like living together, you're used to always sleeping next to them every night, and it's funny, like I don't know if you've ever had those, but you have like a really terrible nightmare that like they've been like cheating on you or something really awful, and then like you wake up and it just felt so real, but they're still sleeping next to you, and then you want to like hate them so much because you're so mad at the dream you just had, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, wait, he's right there. He's not out, he's like, sleeping. Doing whatever. It's like, he's sleeping. He's right here. I'm like, oh, man. But then he'll go to, like, turn over and, like, cuddle with me. And I'll be like, no, get off me. I hate you.
You still
like,
have the bad memory.
It's like, you did something terrible. And it's happened to me before, funny. Too, where I, like, I'll, like, be like, you know, like, roll over and be like, oh, okay. And they'll be like, oh, get off me. I'll be like, what's wrong? And they're like, you're an awful person. I'm like, what? I'm like, wake up. I think you're dreaming. You're like, oh, yeah, I had a dream that, you know, you were being really mean to me or something. Like, it's just kind of funny.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. Good old relationship dream story.
Very cool. So you had a good time back in Chicago. Did you see some friends and stuff too?
A little bit. Not really. Yeah. No. Just mostly just family.
So you stayed with the family the whole time and stuff? Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I imagine you didn't go in the boat or anything, right?
In the boat?
Yeah. You guys usually go on a boat.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. No, that boat is put away. I thought you were talking about the other boat. I'm like, no, that was a Newport.
Yeah. No, but you wouldn't take a boat in Chicago these days.
Me. Yeah. No. It's way, way, way too cold.
Yeah.
No way.
It is true that you sneeze every show, right?
I think this morning I woke up with, I think I had one of like the windows open. And I think this morning, like I heard really loud, somebody was like mowing the lawn and doing like that like weed whacker thing, you know? So I think it just like conjured up a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I don't usually keep that window open, but I did, you know, last night. And now I'm like, you know, like this morning when they were doing their thing early, now I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
I can like
that's fine.
Feel
you
a
sneeze all you want.
Congested.
I don't care.
At least it's like a tiny little like dainty sneeze. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm not like, ah, chill. All up in the mic. No. Nothing like that. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, but, before we get to our guests, do you have any plans for the weekend? Any big plans or anything? Vegas again? Newport, well, yeah, boats,
no.
Theme party.
Actually, last night was cool. I went to the Kings game.
Oh, you did?
For hockey, yeah.
Yeah, was it
which
good?
Which is why I'm wearing my new Kings shirt that
oh,
I got.
Oh, you have a Kings shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
L.A. Kings.
Okay.
I got it at the gift shop.
Do you like...
And they won, so that was exciting. I mean, I love hockey. Like, I used to, you know...
You do?
We used to play, like, with the, you know, the Park District growing up. And, like, my right. brother was super into, like, inline hockey. You know, of course, he was a lot better than I was. But I always really... Mm-hmm. I always really enjoyed the sport. And, obviously, the Blackhawks, you know, we won the Stanley Cup last year. And the Kings won the Stanley Cup the year before.
I see, okay.
So, you know, and I feel like I have, you know, because after living here now 4 years, I've kind of, you know, adopted, you know, my secondary teams right. as, you know, being the L.A. teams mostly. Aside right. from football, because L.A. doesn't really have a football team. That's why I've got the Ravens as my secondary team. But, yeah, I have the, you know... The Kings is my second team.
Awesome.
So yeah, it was really exciting. We won. It was like 4-2, I think. We're playing the Boston Bruins, yeah. who were actually playing in the Stanley Cup last year that my Blackhawks beat.
I see. Okay.
So it was a good game? It was a really, really good game. And great. We were sitting up in the Hyde Lounge, mm-hmm. actually. So
yeah,
it was all like
cool, huh?
fancy and whatever. But yeah, it's good because you can see, you know, you can look down and just see like. Clear shot of everything.
Right, of everything.
Looking like straight down on the.
I know, I was at
play,
Dodger Stadium at one of those, and it's really cool. You know, I mean, you have a little party mm-hmm. there and you watch the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Everybody's, you know, you're all meeting new friends. Everybody's having a good time. It's, it's a good atmosphere. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was
awesome.
Fun.
Cool. All right. Well, I don't have any big plans for the weekend, but you know
what? Sleeping.
Yeah, I guess.
And analyzing your dreams.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
But I just want to give a shout out to my friends because they lost two dogs. These are the friends I have up north, and they live out, you know, they have like a big property and stuff, and
right.
the dogs are always there. Mm-hmm. And they even have like those electronic collars, you know, so you would think that something would happen because it gives them like a little shock
yeah,
kick or something.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know how they disappeared, but he says two of them and his kids and his wife are out of town. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do when they come back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm trying to imagine how terrible this is.
Maybe they'll come back. Maybe they'll find their way home.
Maybe, I don't know. But how would they get out?
Were they big dogs? Like, would they be able to?
No, they're not like big dogs, no.
Oh.
But they're not really small either. They're kind of like medium size. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't know. I know it's like really bad news, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, those are dogs, you know. For me, it's like I can't really relate because I don't have mm-hmm. a dog. But I can imagine it's like a member of the family, you know.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I cried for 3 days when my fish died. Like, seriously, I get very close. I'm very attached to pets, so I completely understand.
Yeah.
You know, the sorrow that comes along with that.
I know. I just hope they're okay and they'll come back somehow.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
Aww.
All right. Well, you invited a guest to our studio who's sitting patiently, and we really appreciate that. And his name is Mike, right? Welcome
yep.
to
yes.
the show, Mike.
Michael Addison.
Michael Addison.
Hi.
And you guys connected, what, through Facebook or something?
Yeah.
Cool. You meet a lot of people on Facebook, which is a cool thing.
I do. Too. It's a good resource, man.
It's,
yeah.
great. It's great for networking.
That's
you know,
true, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
for this industry.
Yeah, I need to start inviting people from Facebook, too. You know, I just I never think about that because we always have like plenty of guests anyway. But it's mm-hmm. a good idea, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I found your profile and I invited you to the show. Remember that?
Oh
Facebook.
Yeah, back in the day, back in May.
Yeah,
right.
Because I don't know how I connected with your profile, but then I saw you were on Pieces of
probably,
Ass.
Probably, yeah, probably mutual friends with
right.
Pieces
yeah.
of Ass.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then I saw that and I thought, wow, that would be cool on the show since we already had a couple of people from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. Part of the history.
Yeah, that's one for the books.
Yeah. So, Mike, tell us what it is that you do.
I'm a professional recording artist. I have my new CD coming out later on this year. It's called Resisting Fate. It's a new acoustic record. My last one was a big rock record, so this is like drastically different than my last record.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And what does professional musician mean? That you earn a living from it?
Yeah.
I see. So that's pretty cool, huh? I mean, that's everybody's dream.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of musicians here, and they don't really make it, you know? So this is interesting. How did you become interested in music? Was that early on in your life?
Yeah, I've always been passionate about music. I did a lot of writing, especially in high school and college. And then when I got out here, I became more focused on that, and you know, focused on like learning everything about the guitar and like really mastering that skill. And then like putting my writing skills together with guitar playing, and then things just kind of build from there. And then I recorded an EP. And that had, you know, some minor success, and then things just like, you know, snowballed from there.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Where were you from originally?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh, really? Yeah. From Philly.
Philly.
Yeah. Do they have a good hockey team?
Yeah. The Flyers are good.
Oh, yeah. The Flyers?
Yeah. They started off really poor this year, and then they fired their coach like 8 games into the season.
Really?
And then now they're almost unbeatable. So.
Actually, the Flyers were in the Stanley Cup the time before this past season when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup.
2010, I think it was.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Because that was the year. Yeah, that was the year I moved.
That was a tough series.
Yeah.
That last goal in Game 6 in overtime was tough.
Yeah. It was my superstition. Like I said, that worked. You know.
That was heartbreaker. Later. Yeah. So since in my existence, we've lost the Stanley Cup final twice. So it's won any. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother. He's also a professional musician. He plays in a band called Addison Grove.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they're a tremendous acoustic band, and they're based out of Philadelphia.
He's still there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's still there in Philadelphia. He plays the drums and guitar, and he's an amazing musician as well.
Did you guys have like bands together when you were young and stuff?
No, we're a little bit too far apart where we really couldn't share anything like athletically or like you know musically or anything kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the difference between ages?
6 years.
Oh, 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's a different.
It's just enough where we're just at different places in life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you have a cool childhood in Philly?
I did. I had a great childhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had an awesome mom and dad, and they both were into music as well. My mom plays the piano, and
really?
My dad plays guitar.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
that's how usually it passes on, huh? From parents to kids.
Yeah, that's usually where like you get your inspiration from.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. That's true though. It's not always the case though, because I know that I always loved music from the moment I remember myself, and my parents weren't into it at all, you know. So I don't know where I got that from, but it's definitely, I think the love for music comes early on in life, you know. And you start singing and you want to play instruments and stuff like that.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
So I got into the guitar when I was about 12 years old also, you know, so.
That's pretty young for guitar.
It is, huh?
Yeah, usually you start out with like piano lessons
right.
or like, you know, the flute or something like that.
Right.
And then like guitar usually comes at like 15, like early in high school, but 12, right. that's a great age to start playing.
No, I know. But the thing is that I actually started playing when I was probably 8, but I played, believe it or not, it's really funny, but the accordion, you know, because
what?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know I'm
that's
dating
funny.
Myself. But like way back
that's
then,
awesome.
You know, in the 60s, I mean, they were like, I don't know why I picked it up. I think my parents picked it for me. But at that point already, it was kind of outdated. They were using it in parties, mainly parties for kids and stuff.
Well, it's definitely not outdated in my neighborhood. I have a neighbor
really?
Who plays the guitar, or excuse me, he plays the accordion like 3 o'clock every day. And
really?
You can hear his practice,
what?
Yeah. And he's really good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It is.
I don't
it's
even
funny.
Know if I've seen an accordion up close.
Oh, yeah. And it echoes through like my complex too. It's funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
it
gosh.
Was bigger than I was. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
that
wow.
was funny, but. Yeah. But it helped me understand music, learn music, chords, and things like that, you know, and that helped me a little bit with piano, although I never really took on piano.
Right.
But I realized with the accordion, though, I couldn't sing and play at the same time. It's not an instrument to sing with. And I thought, you know, and I was hearing people playing guitars and stuff, and I thought, wow, you know, what a full sound it has, you know, what a great... you know,
oh yeah, the first time you like stroke an E minor, just like it resonates with you.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's a companion for a singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Definitely. You know, so do you write your music with a guitar or piano? How do you do it?
With both, but yeah, primarily guitar.
Right.
I also do some piano work as well. I'm not nearly as good at piano as I am at guitar. It just translates really well when you're going through the writing process.
Right. Yeah, some songs are more like piano based and stuff. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, they're not as much guitarish. So, but you went into an acoustic sound now more with your new album?
Yeah, not overall, but like this is something that I've wanted to do for a while, just like a really pretty acoustic record. So I actually was writing this while I was recording my last rock record.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so a lot of the times you have some downtime, so, you know, I'll just have my acoustic guitar in my lap and I'll start fiddling with some, you know, different sounds, and I'll really like that, and then that night I'll go home and like start laying down some demos, and then I revisited it after I was done recording the last record.
Nice.
Did you have to learn acoustic first before you...
Yeah, yeah. I played acoustic for a long time before I learned electric
guitar.
Yeah,
that's usually the case, yeah. Usually. Although electric guitar is easier to play, you know, especially for a young kid, you know, because the acoustic guitar, it's hard to press the strings, you know.
That's a great point. Yeah, acoustic guitar, you do have to pull
down
a little
harder
on the string.
And it's a wider neck as well and stuff, you know, so it's hard to wrap your fingers around it as a kid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, usually you take on acoustic first, you know, and then you start rocking with the electric guitar.
Yeah, now I remember the first time I played an electric guitar, just like blew my mind.
Isn't it something?
Yeah,
I know. I mean, talking about dreams, I used to dream about an electric guitar every night.
Aww.
Until I finally got one, you know.
I did too, and then I finally got one, and then I just couldn't play because my fingers are screwed up, my ring fingers. That, like, when they won't go down by themselves, like, all my other fingers go down with it.
Yeah,
it's
that'd be
so
tough.
Weird. I can't. Yeah, and I never really, like, put two and two together, you know? And I'm like, why can't I do this?
I can't turn left.
Exactly.
It's
like one of those instances. I mean, my brother had already started playing, so he had a guitar. So he ended up giving his guitar to one of our, you know, younger cousins.
Right.
And then, you know, because mine had an extra pickup on it. So it was a little bit better anyway. So he's like, well, I'll just take yours. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stick with singing. I never really got further than Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano, so scratch that.
Yeah, so much for that.
I'm just gonna stick with my voice for now.
But you know, the nice thing was that I really wanted a great guitar, like a Stratocaster or something.
Nice.
But I didn't expect one, you know, because it's your first guitar and everything. My dad ended up buying me a Gibson SG, you know, which is like, it's become a classic now.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you don't appreciate it at that age, but, you know, now at my age and stuff, my kids are looking at it. My son is a guitarist now, and he looks at it, it's like, wow, you know, let me play that one. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool, and he's got a Stratocaster too. So
okay,
yeah,
setting up right.
But yeah, people like the classics and stuff like that. So at what age did you get your electric guitar?
I got that in my mid-20s.
Really?
Yeah.
So until you were able to get one yourself.
Right, a little older.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's get a taste of some of your music.
Yeah.
So you brought us an album here.
This is my new record. It's coming out next month. It's called Resisting Fate.
Right.
And the first song on there is called We'll Be Coming Home.
Okay, so we'll play that one, and tell us a little bit about it. So this is like not only you on the guitar, though, right?
Are there musicians? It's me on the guitar and singing, yeah. And
okay, but there are other musicians on here, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. There are. My producer has a little cameo with a guitar solo. His name's Larry Marciano, and he's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow.
And then my drummer, his name's Ryan Hoyle, and he was in Collective Soul.
Wow.
He's fantastic.
Really? I see even Kelly's on here. Kelly McGrath, we were talking about her.
Yeah, she has an appearance on one of the songs later in the album.
That's very cool. Very nice. Yeah, he knows this girl that is a musician also. I remember we went to one of her CD release parties. And,
She
used to be a host on LA Talk Radio like a long time ago.
And then, I was a frequent member on that.
Yeah, apparently she was on his album here too. She lives in Nashville now, yeah. So, okay, so we'll play We'll Be Coming Home by Mike Addison.
You. this time that we share. I swear to you, I'm always care for you. Rainy days lie ahead. I swear to you, I'm lying mad with you.
Coming home. I love the song.
Thank
man.
You.
Very
yeah.
good.
It's awesome.
You got a great voice, you know.
Appreciate
and it. Have you like developed your voice professionally?
Oh, yeah. I spent really? Years like working on it. I definitely really? Was not gifted with any singing ability in any
wow,
shape or form.
Wow, really?
So.
But you had the desire to sing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's interesting, you know, because usually people that want to sing are able to sing pretty well by nature, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff like that. But you felt you need to develop it and stuff.
Oh, I didn't feel yeah. I just had to.
Yeah. yeah, but you know what? Everybody pretty much should, you
right.
know?
Right. I mean, I spent a good 10 years, like,
oh,
really
wow.
working on it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's still got a long way to go. So it's just, singing is yeah. always a work in progress.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Definitely getting to where I want to be for sure, but yeah, it's been a long process, but you know, getting there.
Great. So when did you come out here? How many years ago?
11 years ago.
Oh, 11 years.
Yeah.
So you've been here for a while.
I've actually lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else before. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, so you moved from Philadelphia to other places?
I did. I was born in Delaware, and then when I was 8, I moved to Philadelphia.
I see.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. And did you live any other places other than that?
I did. I jumped around a little bit. I lived in New Jersey. I was a beach lifeguard in Cape May for a little bit.
Oh, really? Oh,
then,
cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I lived in Virginia for about a year. I went to college at the University of Arizona, so I lived there for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was that cool?
So,
did you like it there?
Amazing, yeah. Really? I wouldn't give up those 4 years for anything in the
really?
World. Yeah.
How did you decide on Arizona?
One of my buddies was going out there to check out schools. So I did a little research and thought, you know, that'd be a cool place to go to school as well. So
yeah.
I,
it's pretty
yeah,
hot.
I hear a lot of good things about the schools out there.
Really?
Yeah. I know quite a few people that, yeah. that did that.
Yeah.
We
had
it.
A big win last night against UCLA. So our basketball team.
Really?
So, yeah.
Did you win?
Yeah. We're the top team in the country. We're number
oh,
one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
what's the team called?
University of Arizona.
Yeah, but
the Wildcats. Team,
the Wildcats. Okay,
yeah.
I've heard of them.
The
but
Wildcats.
You see, I don't really follow that stuff. I'm not into sports. At all.
Yeah, that's like on par with music for me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Plus, when you go to college with a big team, you know, you
of course, and that's the reason I wanted to go there too, because it was a big established school. You know.
Yeah. So, what did you take in school? Music.
No, I was a business major.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you decided you're going to get a day job just in case.
Exactly.
Right?
Little, you know, background, you know, to have
right.
something.
Right. So that's cool. So were your parents like professional musicians?
Or? No. Just recreational
music and stuff. Yeah. Right.
Like my mom would like sing, you know, at church and stuff like that. You know?
Oh, wow. Cool. And so what was your dad doing?
My dad's actually a computer programmer for Vanguard Mutual Funds.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So. That's pretty cool. So you got into computers early on probably, right?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely been integrated in like the engineering computer world like, my whole life. That's like my dad's side of the family. That's all they do.
Really?
Like computers and engineering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And then, this is right up your alley, Sam.
Yeah, I can.
And way over my head.
I can put my nerd hat on pretty quick if you need.
Yeah, I guess. So, that's true, though. But you decided to take a different direction, though. You're more creative.
I did. I just like, just like, I don't know if I'm emotionally off balance, but like I've just always, you know, been, you know, more closer to like the artists.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, I've always, you know, been in the entertainment world even since I was a kid. Like I used to like put on shows for like family members and friends like as early as 8 years old. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I used to
just
do the same
like
thing.
I'm just wired that way.
Yeah, you're a performer. You're a born performer. That's what
right.
it is.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a chemical imbalance, but I don't mind it.
Are you the oldest?
I am the oldest, yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's what it is. Usually the oldest ones are the most screwed up, like me, you know? we're like dreamers. That's what it is.
Are you trying to say
I'm screwed up? Exactly.
No, I think we're more like dreamers. We don't want the 9-to-5
that's,
job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was definitely that guy.
Yeah. I wonder why it is with the firstborn.
I think it's because we're the firstborn, and it's like drilled into our heads, like, anything is possible. If you dream it, you can do it,
right.
You know?
Only if
it
were
like
that easy.
First child, yeah, and then, not in and my then later family. On, it's like, oh, dang, the real life sinks in. It's like, oh,
right.
Oh, wait a minute. It's a little different than I thought. And then the younger ones come along and they kind of see that and they're like, huh, all right, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more practical about my decisions.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like when people, you know, back home and like all around the world, you know, when fans contact me and stuff and like what kind of advice, you know, can I give to them when they're pursuing their dreams is like, you have to enjoy the journey and the process. You mm-hmm. really have to mm-hmm. because like sometimes it's just not in the stars and like right. that has so much of a factor to do with it.
Yeah. Or so. It would take a long time and you've got to be
definitely.
Persistent.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you know, the most famous thing out here is like it takes 10 years to be an overnight sensation.
And, oh, really?
Like, it's so true.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's true. Huh? Nobody mm-hmm. really makes it overnight. It just seems that
it's
way.
Rare, but you know, it has happened. But for the most part, yeah, like a lot of established musicians or actors, like they pay, you know, a decade due
right.
to the city and like to this entertainment industry. That's and then all true. Of a sudden, like one thing happens and everyone knows who they are. And they're right. like, oh, where did right. they come from? It's like they've been here for
they've
10
been
years.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Tremendous breakthrough.
They just like finally got an opportunity where you could see their talents.
Right.
So. Same thing with actors. You know, you see them and like, wow, yes, it's this new chick. I don't know. She's not, I've never seen her anything before. She's a new actress. And you IMDb her and it's like, oh dang, she's done a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
They're just really, really small things that you never notice.
Yep.
Right. Until you finally hit it big with something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's not like you necessarily make it big overnight, but you can be like get a good role or something, you know, a good gig in your case. Mm-hmm. And that can launch you into stardom and things like
of
that.
Of course. Right. I mean, what you got to think about is like working your way up a company.
Right.
You know, that's just, you know, work. You start in the mailroom and then you work your way up to CEO.
Right.
Like,
it is pretty much like that, right? Even mm-hmm. though you don't work for a company or an organization right. or something.
Now, you work for the company of Los Angeles.
Right. Exactly. So, so when you moved though, did you move from Arizona directly here?
Or did I did.
You,
yeah.
I see. Okay, so and the music made you move here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you figured this is
the place where
it,
I needed
right?
to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, what did you decide to do anything with your degree or anything? Or,
I did. I had an internship while I was in college. I was really, you know, pushed towards like the business world. Like, you know, don't waste your time on like your dreams. Like, you know, be real and pragmatic about everything. And I actually became a marketing director right out of school for a company based out of Chicago on Wacker Drive.
Hey.
Off of Lake Magazine. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Really? Pretty cool.
And yeah, so that's where the company headquarters were, and I oversaw two properties in Arizona. So, it was, yeah. So, wow. I brought in the first J. Crew, Abercrombie & Fitch, and Old Navy to, like, you know, Tucson and...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like a little bit of pioneer in the retail world. But the 9-to-5 thing was not for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And that, you know, early on in your life, you know, I think we're all in the same boat pretty much trying to figure out what the hell we're going to do with
our life. My biggest thing is like, I need an afternoon nap. I don't know if you guys are nappers, but like, I need that afternoon nap because I do so much like in the morning that I'm just exhausted come like noon, 1 o'clock. So I need like that power nap. Wow. So like for my lunch breaks, I would like drive home and just like take a 45-minute nap
and go back. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. Now, as far as lyrics and stuff, do you write the lyrics yourself as well?
Yeah, every note, songs? Every lyric. I write all my music videos. That's my favorite part of like any project is the writing. Like that's, I think that's my number one talent coming into anything.
Wow,
like
that's
the writing.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So let's play another song. The second one, I guess, from the album is
Alone.
Alone, right. Mm-hmm. So what's the song about?
It's just about...
being alone.
It's a little deeper than that. It's just like, it's somebody's like, you know, no matter what relationship they're in or like where they're at, like they just keep running into the same problems. Like, and at the end of the day, they end up by themselves and they just like can't hold on to anybody.
Yeah.
So.
Well, interesting. Okay. So let's take a listen to that. We're talking to Michael Addison, of course, and the song is Alone. Addison Alone. Very cool song.
So sad.
Yeah. Heartbreak City. It's like a montage waiting to happen.
Yeah. Aww. But the music is catchy, you know. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the melody is nice.
Thanks.
And so how long does it take you to write a song like that?
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know if you heard from other writers, but just like, it just hits you like lightning.
Right.
And you just get like really inspired by something and you know, I just got to start like writing it down. It just develops from there.
Right.
And for me, like songwriting comes from like two different places. It's either lyrically first, and then I write a melody around that.
Right.
Or I find like a sound that I really like on the guitar, and then I'll write lyrics to that.
Right.
And that seems to be more of the process lately.
I see. Is, okay.
You know, finding like so a really a sound
first.
That you want exactly
I see.
On the guitar, and then writing lyrics around it.
Wow, very cool.
And then harmonizing. And
right. Yeah. That's actually that comes next. Like after you write the music, then like you write like the harmonies and like the actual melodies, and then the lyrics are last.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how did you connect with your producer, Larry Marciano? Did you say
that's it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually came about because I was friends with Kelly, and Kelly was dating Larry at the time, so that's how I met him. Every time you drink water, you look like Robert De Niro, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. A lot of people tell me I look like Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I was just like, oh, well, I just saw American Hustle.
Yeah. And did you like it?
I was very disappointed.
I know. Me too.
I was too.
The acting was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. They're all amazing actors. They did a great job. Like, you know, it's more of like... I didn't get tingles.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no story. I mean, the story...
didn't really quite... click, you know, individually.
Right.
I feel like everybody did, you know, a really great job, but like meshing together, it just didn't. I don't know. There was just something missing.
It didn't work.
I have like 12 movies in my head because I had like a movie marathon over the weekend. I'm sure Mia got like all of the samplers.
I just
and everything.
Got all my yesterday. I finally went through my mail from being gone.
All this, like,
a million
side people.
Movies.
Yeah. So there's like 12 movies that. We had to, like, you know, go through and check out. And, like, I usually wait, you know, till this time of year before I pay to see movies to see which, like, samples I get.
Uh-huh. Right.
So just, like, went through all of them. So, like, they're all in my head right now. I can tell you all about every one of the movies.
Wow.
Well, don't, because so far I haven't seen any of them. Just American Hustle, because I saw that with my mom back home. But
12 Years a Slave, I think, is just going to clean up. It's just, you know, that much better than all the other
movies. I've heard a lot about that film, yeah.
Really? I'll have to check it out.
Captain Phillips,
yeah.
too. Yeah. I've been wanting to see that.
That was okay.
Yeah.
Was it?
But you know what? Wolf of Wall Street was pretty good. Did you get to see that
one? No, so now that I didn't get the sample, I have to go
pay
to
see
it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to cheat.
It is a long movie, but you know what? I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. I enjoyed every minute of it. It was an
entertaining
movie.
It's just a lot of, like,
movie.
Drugs and sex and drugs and
more
sex.
And it set,
oh, yeah, of
it
course.
Set the record.
Right up Sam's alley. Okay.
Sam's
now I understand.
Let me remind you, Mia. Sam is a man, okay? It's not up my alley. It's every man. So relax.
Right.
Yeah, set the record for most F-bombs in a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like 500
wow.
times.
Wow.
And
really?
It's 700 in the book. So
really?
They like, so they're oh, like man. To the, yeah, when like Martin Scorsese is talking about it, he's like, whoa, we cleaned it down a little bit. We toned it down.
Wow.
But he's so good. I love his movies, you know, and
amazing.
He really brings out the best in Leonardo, you know, so.
Oh, he's fantastic as well.
Yeah, definitely. So going back to the music, so you guys got together and you produced this. How long did it take you really for the whole album?
We have our process down pretty quick. So this one we knocked out in probably about 3 weeks.
Really?
So,
nice.
Yeah.
So had you written all the songs by then?
Yeah. Or? So I the process usually works. I have all the songs like written out, and I have a home studio, so I'll record all the demos there.
Nice.
And then I show up at his place, and then, like, you know, we review each of the songs, we write down ideas, we kind of like brainstorm on like what we should do with them.
Right.
And then we just go from there, and then we go through and record demos in his studio to have everything locked down exactly, like formatted the way it needs to be, like timing, placement of like what instruments, and then, you know,
right.
And then from there, then we start layering like the actual final instruments on everything.
And that's hard work, but it's a lot of fun too,
it's
right?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And every time you do it, just like, you know, when, I'm sure when Mia's on a movie set, like you have that feeling, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're in love.
Right.
You know, it's like falling in love because like you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
How cool. How you know? Cool it is. And you're very fortunate, you know, to have been able to make a living from this and you know, really do what you want to do and promote your own music. You
yeah.
know?
It's, yeah.
It's good
I've
for people
fortunate.
To understand just exactly how much work and time goes into building these types of things.
Right.
Like people don't even realize.
Oh, no. It's a full-time job.
It's, Yeah.
It's good. It's good that you, I mean, because it takes a lot of courage to do that, you know, and to take that leap, you know, to say, okay, this is what I'm going to devote my life to and whatever happens,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's cool because often people have a day job and all that stuff, you know, But it's cool, you know, so I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. And you really hit the nail on the head, because, like, a lot of people that I come across that are so talented,
right,
especially, like, back where I'm from, and I try to get them to come out here, I'm just like, give it a year, and like, mm-hmm. nah, I can't leave my $30,000 a year job, right. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, give it a shot. Like,
exactly. You know? Yeah, you only live once.
There's so much talent. Like, let somebody see it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, yeah. My mom's basement's just really comfortable. And
yeah. Aww. That's the thing, is that you it's not enough to have the talent. You have to have someone push you or do
that's
something
because
about
not,
it.
Not everybody can do it. You know, you need all aspects of
right.
it.
Right. And you need to understand
it, you know.
Yeah. And you need to understand the business side of it as well, you know, because mm-hmm. when you're an artist, you don't really understand all the business parts of
it.
Oh,
no.
Right.
It takes years.
You have
of, like,
a business degree,
yeah.
So you know. You went to college for it.
Yeah. The business degree I've acquired out here is much different. Yeah. It's just years of life experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, if I could go back and, like, tell myself 10 years ago what I know now, like, just... it would have been a lot easier process.
Yeah,
sure.
I guess it would, yeah. But that's what life's about, you know, you learn. And it was funny, my uncle used to say that we should be born old and then roll back, you know, because...
Benjamin Buttons.
Yeah, exactly, because...
yeah.
Because otherwise we'd be young with all the stuff that we know as older people,
mm-hmm.
and we probably wouldn't make as many mistakes, you know, it would be a lot more fun. Because
there needs to be like an intro course for people that like move out of town. They move here, like the first like 3 weeks they move here, like mm-hmm. somebody with experience that's been here for a while needs to like, okay, here are the ropes, you know.
Yeah,
like if someone approaches you at a club and says this is how you respond.
I got lucky. I had some pretty good mentors when I first moved
out and that's
here,
important too. Like I came out here and knew no one. In fact, I never had been to Los Angeles before when I moved out here.
So
I just packed up all my stuff and drove out here. My cousin had an internship at the time in Studio City. So like I just like drove out here, crashed on her couch, and been here ever since.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So going to a place without checking it out first.
Yeah, I just knew I had to be out here.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. And I guess you're happy with the decision.
Of course, I love it.
You've been here 11 years.
Yeah, this is great.
Right. Do you go back home to visit the family?
I do. I went home for Christmas, and that was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of family members I haven't seen in a while. So.
Cool. Do they come to visit you here at all?
It's become less frequent.
Yeah.
They have, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Have you been able to meet someone romantically and everything, or are you eligible?
Absolutely.
Available. Okay. Sounds good. You happy there too?
Yes, very.
How
very
long
happy.
Have you guys been together?
Oh, we're going personal life, huh?
Well, you can just...
No. It's okay. No, I'm... Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I'm in a very happy, good situation,
okay,
for sure.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. Well, Michael Addison, everybody check out his album. The album's called Resisting Fate. And I see your website is addisonm.com, right?
Yep.
And you guys can go out there and check it out, and I would imagine listen to the music as well.
Yeah.
And what's next for you?
So the last song that we heard called Alone, we're shooting that music video on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
And I'm in the studio tomorrow. We're recording a new single for me as well.
So nice.
It's more of like in the pop genre, so that's more radio friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, yeah. But this one's nice. I mean, it's cool to relax with and stuff,
yep.
You know, for sure. And so you can be working on that and stuff. And what did you say before the recording?
Music video.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was going to ask you about. Where do you feature that? Is that like on YouTube and stuff? Is that where?
Yeah, everywhere.
Because there's no MTV anymore for music videos, you know?
Well, there's MTV too, but that's more of like the like hip hop and pop genres.
Right.
But this music video is definitely not going to make it onto like any network TV or anything. But yeah, so it's passed around online.
Awesome.
On like different media platforms.
Very cool. So everybody can find it out on Michael's website, addisonm.com. Michael, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
A lot of fun.
Appreciate it.
And
awesome.
All the best to
Good
you
job.
With your music. You're very talented.
Thank you.
And there's no reason why you won't make it.
Okay,
you know, so
appreciate it.
Just don't forget us minions when you make it.
Never.
Babe. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening, Mia.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a great weekend, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.